So I want to move on to another approved agent in terms of trying to get everything out on the table, which is high-dose IL-2. And Dr. Figlin, you had an interesting patient we'd like to hear about.
So the patient's a 57-year-old male who presented with a 7-centimeter right renal mass and bilateral pulmonary nodules measuring about 1 to 1.5 centimeters, whose comorbid disease included adult-onset diabetes well-controlled, hypertension well-controlled. Staging including of the brain, chest, abdomen, and pelvis revealed no other findings. Laboratory with a creatinine of 0.9, otherwise normal, who underwent a cytoreductive nephrectomy revealing clear cell carcinoma with 5% sarcomatoid features. We then had a discussion about treatment alternatives, and this was before the TKI era. And he then went on to high-dose interleukin-2, receiving 4 treatment cycles, having a 90% decrease in the size of his bilateral lung mets, and then was followed expectantly.
So what's the follow-up on him?
So the follow-up is that we followed him, and we were happy to see him on a regular basis. And 10 years later, he came in with altered mental status, and he had a solitary lesion to his brain, no other evidence of disease elsewhere, which was surgically resected, and he now remains free of disease for 12 years.
Wow. So Dr. McDermott, any thoughts about this patient and this story?
Well, this is the kind of story that gets folks excited about the potential of immune therapy for solid tumors. Unfortunately, it's over the years, it's not been that common a story. Needless to say, what we've been trying to do, and Bob, both Motzer and Figlin have been involved in this, is trying to identify folks who are more likely to be in this long-term home run kind of benefit group. Over the years, the application of IL-2 has probably decreased as far as the number of centers and the number of patients getting IL-2, but the response rates have improved in large part because we're getting better at identifying patients who are not likely to respond to the treatment. So that's patients with, say, non-clear cell tumors, which is something that Bob Motzer, you know, taught us from the interferon days. Patients who have their primary tumor in place are also less likely to be getting IL-2. And obviously these newer therapies are having some impact in who the community will send for IL-2. Now they have options. They're probably not sending us as many poor risk patients as they did in the past. But this case points out that in select patients, you can see dramatic benefit that can last for years, a true remission of the cancer, which is really what the patient is looking for. You know, the questions going forward is, A, how can we do better at identifying these patients beforehand? B, how can we get this long-term benefit with less toxic strategies? We're probably doing better with B than with A. You know, Mike Atkins and our group has spent a lot of time trying to confirm early findings from Dr. Figlin's group at UCLA suggesting there were certain tumor features that predicted benefit for immune therapy beyond non-clear cell histology, whether there's certain clear cell patients that were benefiting. The thought was maybe carbonic anhydrase 9, which is expressed on clear cell cancers, might predict benefit. Patients with high CA9 were thought to be more likely to benefit. We spent time trying to confirm that finding, a retrospective finding in a prospective trial. Our prospective trial was unable to confirm that benefit. You could look at several reasons why that might not have been the case. But right now, we don't have a great pre-treatment marker to say, you know, this person should definitely get the treatment so we can enrich the population of patients who should get these agents.